be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. These might be some of the hardest to hear words that Jesus ever said. As someone in the business of selling the Christian faith, I have to say it would have been an easier sale if Jesus would have left some of these words out. But, as Lynn Anderson said in her classic country western song, "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometime." End quote. Jesus did not promise us a rose garden. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is famous for having made this same point in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Bonhoeffer said that the deadliest enemy of the church is cheap grace, which seems to say, as long as you believe the right things, how you live is not that important. Bonhoeffer emphasizes that faith and obedience are inseparable. Now, one who truly believes is obedient and lives a life of true, costly discipleship, Bonhoeffer was certainly one. Bonhoeffer learned this from early civil rights leaders at Union Theological Seminary in New York, and he practiced it by ultimately returning to Nazi Germany, resisting Hitler, and dying in prison. Bonhoeffer lived and practiced costly discipleship. The good news is that true joy comes from doing the will of God. Paradoxically, even when suffering is involved. This scripture makes that abundantly clear. Jesus is not saying we should seek suffering, but he is saying that suffering may well result from doing God's will. Indeed, Jesus not only said it, he lived it. Jesus not only warned us that a cross may be at the end of the road, he willingly went to the cross. And here is the hard sell part. By Jesus going to the cross, he did not take away the possibility that we might have to take up our crosses as well. For as today's scripture begins, a disciple is not greater than his teacher. Jesus showed us the way of the cross, and we have to be willing to follow. Jesus willingly went the way of suffering, and we should be ready to do the same. Jesus taught us that obedience to God's will might lead to pain. And if it does, we should not fear. In this passage, Jesus repeatedly says, we should not fear. Fear is the enemy of action. Fear is the enemy of obedience to the hard task. Fear can easily get in the way of doing God's will. As a preacher, it's easy to let fear get in the way. Brave preaching is often called prophetic preaching. The reason for this, as Jesus said, prophets are not without honor except in their own country, in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. Jesus said this as his hometown took offense at him for what he'd preached in their local synagogue. It was said of John Knox, John Calvin's disciple who took the Reformation to Scotland and founded the Presbyterian Church. At his burial, that quote, "Here lies one who feared God so much that he never feared the face of any man," end quote. Brave preaching is being willing to say things that are not popular. Prophetic preaching is being willing to speak the truth to power, even when it might get you thrown down a well, as happened to the prophet Jeremiah. Speaking unpopular truth might even lead to a cross, as Jesus experienced and as Jesus warned. Thankfully, this cruel form of punishment, known as crucifixion, is forbidden by the Eighth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. While literal death on a cross is unlikely, many figurative crosses possibly await us. We might be called upon to give up comforts or securities we hold dear and which our culture tells us are the way to happiness. Yet if those comforts or securities stand in the way of God's will, they are not the way to happiness. They're the way to misery. William Shakespeare said in his play, Julius Caesar, quote, "A coward dies 1,000 times before his death, but the valiant taste of death but once," end quote. Jesus is going beyond this quote by saying that what really counts is what God intends for us. And though we fear death, and the many little crosses we may face, God has our back. God doesn't promise us a rose garden, but does promise to be with us and for us. Notice that Jesus does not say that God prevents the sparrow from falling, but says that God knows when a sparrow falls. Traditionally, this verse is interpreted to mean that God knows when a sparrow dies. If God knows when a sparrow dies, God does not prevent the sparrow from dying, but cares for the sparrow, even as God cares for us in life and in death. William Barclay takes this verse even further. He says that the Aramaic word that Jesus probably used, that was translated to Greek by the writer of Matthew, could be translated that God knows even when a sparrow lights. Thus, God not only takes notice when a sparrow dies, but also when a sparrow simply lands, as it does so many times every day. God is with the sparrow not only in the significant times of life, but always, even when it's simply landing. That's a beautiful image. That is much easier to preach than all this taking up your cross business. If only Jesus would have left it there. But no, Jesus has to go on and make it clear that true discipleship is going to involve hard times, specific hard times such as violence and family disruption. Very real things that we have experienced in the recent pandemic and in recent social unrest. We might not experience crucifixion, but we might experience disease or the anger of those closest to us when we disagree over current events. These are things that we fear that might get in the way of our obedience to God. We might fear being the victim of suffocating disease more than we fear the result of not feeding the hungry. We might fear the opinions of our friends and family more than we fear God's command to love our enemy or welcome the stranger. William Barclay quotes a famous scholar and a man of the world, J.P. Mahaffey, responding to a questioner who asked him whether he was a Christian. He said, "Yes, but not offensively so." Are we afraid to offend? Are we afraid of what our culture will say if we take a stand based on what Jesus taught? Are we afraid of the effect that acting on our Christian faith will have on our friends and our family? Jesus does not make it easy. Jesus does not promise us a rose garden. Jesus tells us that we are to do what He's done, even if it means a cross, literally or figuratively. Therefore, as we learned in the first part of this missionary discourse by Jesus, we're to go out and preach and heal. True discipleship involves saying hard things. True discipleship involves doing hard things. True discipleship involves not only saying the right things, but not being silent when called upon. Or as Jesus says, quote, "Everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven," end quote. Jesus is willing to stand for us. We are called to stand for Jesus. Acting as a true disciple may well involve earthly consequences, which are little crosses. Those little crosses are not God's will to make us suffer. They are Jesus' warning to prepare us for the difficult times that may well be ahead. Jesus quotes the prophet Micah when he says, quote, "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law," end quote. It's kind of ironic that this comes the Sunday after Father's Day. Remember that Jesus clearly said that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus was not abolishing the commandment that we honor our father and our mother, that our time might be long in the land. The context of this quote is a prophecy of the end of times. God does not desire disharmony in the family. Indeed, we know we are commanded to honor our father and our mother. Unfortunately, doing the right thing can involve family disharmony. Yet our fear of conflict in the family should not prevent us from doing the right thing. That is why Jesus says we should not put love of father or mother above love of God. Today's scripture ends with the very hard words, "Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it," end quote. William Barclay says this, quote, "There is no place for a policy of safety first in the Christian life. The person who seeks first ease and comfort and security and the fulfillment of personal ambition may well get all these things, but they will not be happy. For they are sent into this world to serve God and to serve neighbor. We can hoard life if we wish to, but that way we lose all that makes life valuable to others and worth living for ourselves. The way to serve others, the way to fulfill God's purpose for us, the way to true happiness is to spend life, for only thus will we find life here and hereafter. End quote. Jesus does not tell us to seek death. Jesus tells us that fearing death can cause us to lose that which makes life worthwhile. Constantly seeking to avoid those things we fear can cause us to miss the life God intends for us. Remember, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life is not a promise of a rose garden. Abundant life does not live in fear. Abundant life is living a life of true obedience and discipleship. Amen.